Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church, and we're located in Grove City, Ohio. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Monday to you. Hope you're having a great day today, and we look forward to, by the way, we had a wonderful Sunday yesterday. A great start to our, what we call the Sword of the Lord Conference. The Sword of the Lord is a Christian publication, Bible-believing fundamental publication in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I started, oh my, in the 1930s, I believe, by Dr. John R. Rice. And then Dr. Curtis Hudson was the editor for years, and now for, I think, nearly 30 years, Dr. Shelton Smith has been the editor of the paper. And Dr. Smith is with us, as well as evangelist John Hamlin. And they'll be preaching tonight, 6:30, and tomorrow night, 6:30. Our service times will start. Both preachers preaching each night, and you'll enjoy their preaching from the Word of God. So we invite you out to join us for our Sword of the Lord Conference on revival and soul winning. And that'll be tonight and tomorrow night at 6:30. Hope you can join us here at Bible Baptist Church. And hope your service was good yesterday where you were, and that you were in your place, and a blessing to your church and to your pastor. And most importantly, God spoke to your heart, gave you what you needed as you headed into this new week now to serve Him. Well, listen, I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about a nobody. A nobody. 1 Samuel chapter 16. God tells Samuel that he's to go and anoint another king in Israel to take the place of Saul. And the Lord told Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And Jesse is calling his sons before Samuel. And the Lord kept saying, "Nope, not this one, nope, not this one." And then Samuel said to Jesse in verse 11, "Are all thy children? Are all of them here?" And he said, "There remaineth the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither." Now he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. All right, so this is David, the beginning of him being anointed to be the next king in Israel. And so we're going to talk a little bit about David as he started out as a nobody. Here's the search for David. Obviously, Israel wants a king. And of course, Saul was the first king chosen. And by the way, they wanted a king because, first of all, Samuel was old. And secondly, Samuel's sons were not living for God. They were wicked. And then all the other nations had kings. Boy, those are deep reasons to want a king, isn't it? But see, they were trusting in men more than they were trusting in God. And so, Samuel, you're getting old. You're going to die. We don't want your sons to be in charge. They're abusing their office. So the other nations have kings. We want a king too. I mean, to say our king is God and nobody can see him, that's a little embarrassing. So let's have a king because everybody else does. And remember, they took Saul. And by the way, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. And while he was significant to men, he was disobedient to God. He got very proud in his office about 10 years in. And he was told to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites once and for all. And destroy them utterly. And of course, you know the story. Saul does not obey that. And he kept back the best of the Amalekites and even spared the king. And that's when Samuel comes to him and said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obedience is far better than any sacrifice. You don't make it up with God. "Well, I know I do this and I do this, but I'm going to church every Sunday." Or, "I do this and I do this, but at least I put a tithe in the offering plate." To obey is better than sacrifice. And so be careful that you don't fall into that same trap that Saul fell into. And Saul lost the throne because of that. God is going to replace him. And God tells Samuel, you go and you anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king. And again, God reminds Samuel, this time I'm choosing him, and I don't see people the same way you see people. I don't see people the same way the world sees people. David would not have been Israel's choice. He would have been too young. He had no combat experience. He had no education. He was a sheep herder. But in the mind of God, he was impressed not by brawn or by brains, but by a heart that was completely his. And so God says, I'm choosing a man that is unnoticed by man, but of great worth to me. Even his own father, Jesse, David's dad, didn't recognize his son's potential. But God saw David's heart, and he told Samuel, David is your man. And you know, that's all of us. If we could only see past the surface of people and see their heart, boy, what a difference that would make. That we could tell whether they really meant what they were saying. And know that what their heart was behind, their words were saying. And so they finally come, and he anoints him, and David will be the next king. Now, the standard is for us. The standard is for us. What was it that God saw in David? When you study David's life, I think you'll see some qualities that made God select him as king. Number one, David possessed a heart that was dependent on God. Note, there's a great contrast here between Saul's heart and David's heart. When it came to depending on the Lord, Saul took matters in his own hands. He thought he was going to miss a chance for his own glory, so he thought it would be, God said destroy them all, but he thought it'd be okay as long as he took some of the best and sacrificed to him. But David would say in Psalm 62, God alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. David went on to say, my salvation is on the Lord. He's my mighty rock. He's my refuge. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Well, there's a man who's dependent on God, and his heart is after the Lord. So I ask you, do you have a heart that depends upon God? Are you depending on the Lord in your marriage? Are you depending on God to take care of your needs? Are you depending on God to help you to rear your children? Do you really believe what the Bible says? Do you really believe that God knows every sparrow that falls to the ground and that you and I are worth far more than they? That God knows the number of the very hairs on our head? Do we really believe that? Then why do we so often just depend on ourselves? A heart of dependence means we're depending on God no matter what, and our only source of life is in him. So he possessed a heart of dependence on God. Then he had a heart of obedience to God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Those are the words of David. And he was so obedient. And then you might say, well, wait a minute, preacher. If he was so obedient, why did he commit the terrible sins that he committed? Well, I'm going to tell you what I said earlier and what I've said before. The Bible doesn't gloss over the sins of the men in the Bible. But even in that experience that David went through, his primary desire was to obey God. He didn't try to whitewash his sin. David was crushed and he wept and he pleaded. Read Psalm 51. And you hear and you'll see his heart and his confession to God about his sin. He's pleading for forgiveness and is very distraught that he disobeyed God. And that's what God's looking for, a heart of obedience to him. A heart of dependence upon him. And then David had the heart of a servant. Again in Psalm, God said, I've found David my servant and I've anointed him with oil. Now listen, David my servant. Servanthood is humility in practice. To be a servant means to perform menial tasks no matter what they are. To be a servant means you don't care who gets the credit. To be a servant, you just have to have one goal. The success of your superior. One preacher said one morning after a church service, a lady came up to him and said, I wanted to meet you because I've listened to your sermons on the radio and they've turned my life around. I didn't know the Lord and my whole life has been changed because of your messages and I just wanted to meet you. And she continued, I also wanted you to meet a friend of mine. And she turned back from her friend and said to this radio preacher, oh, I'm sorry, what was your name again? I hope if you introduce Brother Slaybaugh to somebody, you'll at least remember my name. But she'd forgotten his name. And listen, you say, well, wait a minute, if those sermons changed her life, but she forgot who gave them? Of course, she hadn't forgotten where they came from, but the preacher said he was thrilled because she was remembering the message and not just the messenger. And that is so good. Oh, my friend, the word of God was being honored. That's a humble servant. That's the kind of servant that David was. David, just David the shepherd. David was just a humble servant of God. Jesus would say, if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. You have to be the servant at all. After David was anointed here in 1 Samuel 16, you know what he did? He went back to the sheep. He didn't say, wait a minute now, I've been anointed. Where's the palace? Take me to the palace. No, no, no. He was willing to continue to serve. He had a heart of dependence on God, a heart of obedience to God, a heart of humbleness to be a servant for God. And then lastly, David possessed a heart of integrity. The Bible says that God chose David in Psalm 78 and took him from the sheepfolds, shepherding the sheep with integrity of heart. You know what integrity is? Integrity is what you are when no one else is looking. Integrity is being away from everybody you know and choosing the right thing to do. Integrity is doing your job when there's no superior around and doing the job right. Integrity is what kind of language you use before you find out that the new guy at work is a preacher. Or the new guy in the golf foursome is a preacher. God knew David as one with a heart of integrity. Would God say the same thing about you? Would God say the same thing about me? David was a nobody. Nobody noticed, but God knew him. Because God doesn't look on the surface. What he saw in David was a man after his own heart. What does God see in you? Boy, that's a convicting question, isn't it? But it also can be encouraging. There's a story about Michelangelo walking down the streets of Florence, Italy one day, and he saw a block of marble laying in an empty lot. He inquired about it and heard the owner say, "It's worthless now. It's good for nothing but paving blocks." Shaking his head, the sculptor artist replied, "Send it to my studio. There's something special imprisoned in that stone." Later, the master sculptor chiseled away at the rejected stone and created the masterpiece called David that is still renowned today. And you may not think you look like much. You may not think you're very significant. And truth is, not many of us, including this preacher, we're going to make any kind of national top 10 list. But the great thing, the glorious thing, is when the master, Jesus, takes a life that is scarred with sin and turns it into a masterpiece for him. Oh, you're significant. I'm significant. Why? God created us. And he sent his only begotten son to die for us. And he'll use us in a mighty way if we'll yield our heart to him. More than hearing a cardiologist say my arteries are clean, I want Jesus, the great physician, to say there's a heart of dependence, obedience, servanthood, and integrity. A man after my own heart. That's David. I hope that's you and me as well. Let's have a heart for God today. Well, let's be nobodies, all right? Listen, have a great Monday. I'll see some of you at the services tonight, and the rest of us will come back for our broadcast tomorrow. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone. Because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile.
sunny smile.